Happy Mother's Day to all of you fabulous moms. Can we hear it for the moms today? Yes, happy Mother's Day to you. I was thinking this morning there, you know, on Sunday mornings, I work hard to be prepared for church on Sundays, but I was also thinking, wow, what I do to get ready for Sunday morning pales in comparison to a mom with two or three kids that gets their kids together and gets them ready and gets them to church Sunday morning. So my hat is off to you, moms. Good job. You deserve all of the thanks and praise that you get today. So enjoy your special day. So this morning, we're continuing a series that we launched 2 weeks ago called Finding Peace in a Stressed Out World. Finding Peace in a Stressed Out World. So we're going to continue this morning to talk about peace. Now, you might be asking yourself, why even take time on Sundays to even talk about this area of peace? Well, first of all, peace is very important in the Bible. In fact, it's a theme that runs throughout Scripture. In fact, I would call it to be kind of a mega theme in the Bible, that at the very beginning, when we have the first human couple, they lived in peace and enjoyed the peace of God and had peace with one another. They lived a life of peace, and then sin came into the world, and all of that changed. And then ultimately, we have the restoration of peace at the end of the book of Revelation when God restores all things. So really, this idea of peace is a very big deal in the Bible. And so if it's a big deal to God, it should be a big deal to us, right? And so that's one of the reasons. Second reason, a practical reason, is that peace is a huge life issue for us. As much as people desire peace, peace is a rare commodity in our world. When you consider marked increases in people experiencing stress and anxiety and depression, increased suicide rates, and the list goes on and on, it's an important issue in people's lives. So I would say this morning, as we get started, before we talk about peace, I want to just say a couple of things. First of all, if you're experiencing with a lack of peace in your life, you're in the right place today. I'm glad that you're here, because I believe God wants to do something in your life. We're not here to judge one another. Amen? We're here to love and encourage one another. So if you're struggling with peace, it doesn't mean you're not a spiritual person or not a good person. Struggling with peace is a reality in a lot of people's lives. The other thing that I'd like to say before we get into this today is I want to encourage you to be open to what God might have for you today. Because my guess this morning is that even talking about peace, some of you, perhaps you've already given up. Perhaps you're just thinking, there's no such thing as peace in this life. I've just resigned myself to the fact that life is stressful, and I'm going to deal with fear and anxiety and depression, and that's just the way it is. Well, all right, I get it. But I also want to encourage you today that we serve a God with whom nothing is impossible. Right? In fact, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 tells us that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or even think. Now, that's an amazing verse. That verse tells us that we are consistently underestimating God, that He can do exceedingly abundantly all that we're even thinking He can do. And let me just say this, that it's absolutely impossible to overestimate God. Amen? It's impossible to overestimate God. Whatever you're thinking God is or able to do, God is bigger and able to do more than that. So I want to encourage you, perhaps you've been discouraged in this area of peace. I want to encourage you today to be open to what God might have for you. All right, let's get into the text this morning. And this is a text that we're really going to take time today to carefully unpack. All right, so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And this is a powerful couple of verses. This is one of the foundational passages of Scripture that we use in the Freedom Course here at Bethel Church, all right? So let's unpack this a little bit, and I'm going to draw out of this four Bible principles when it comes to this area of peace. And the first one is this: peace comes from knowing God. Peace comes from knowing God. The first part of this verse, again, may God himself, the God of peace. So God is described here as the God of peace. So knowing God, not just knowing about God, but really knowing God, having a friendship with God, listening to his voice, drawing closer and closer to him. This is where peace begins. So not just knowing about God, but really coming to know God. And we can do that by spending time with him in prayer. One of the primary ways that we get to know God more and more is through his word, because God reveals himself through his word in a number of different ways. God reveals who he is. One of the passages this morning that just stands out to me in terms of understanding who God is the place in the book of Exodus where Moses encounters God and is getting to know God, and he encounters God at the burning bush, right? And God has this monumental task for Moses, and Moses has a lot of questions to ask of God when God is assigning him to this mission. And one of the questions that Moses asks of God, if you'll remember, he says, God, and I'm paraphrasing, when people ask me who you are or what your name is, what should I tell them? Okay? Interesting question, and it deserves a little bit of background. Remember that the Israelites, all of their lives, had been surrounded by the idolatry of Egypt, where they were, right? And the Egyptians had a pantheon of gods. In fact, the Egyptians had about 2,000 gods and goddesses that they worshipped, all right? And all of them were the god or goddess of something. In other words, they kind of had a specialized area. So, for example, Isis was the goddess of the Nile. Ammon was the god of the sun. Montu was the god of war. Thoth was the god of magic. Anubis was the god of the afterlife. Bastet was the goddess of fertility. And you could go on and on. Every one of them had a specific name that described kind of their specialty, right? And so all of these gods and goddesses, so when Moses is encountering God, he wants to know, well, which god are you? Who should I tell people your name is? What's your specialty? And remember God's answer? Tell them that my name is I Am. I Am. In other words, God was telling Moses, look, you can't put me in a box. I am. I simply am. You can't define me. You can't buy me in a trinket store. You can't put me on a shelf in your house. I'm bigger than all of that. I am. I am the God of everything. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the Israelites were going to face a lot of challenges when they left Egypt. They were going to need provision and protection and wisdom and direction, and they were going to fight battles, and they needed a God that wasn't a one-trick pony. They needed a God who was God of everything. Amen? So God says, my name is I Am, and I want you to know today God is still the I Am. Amen? He is still the I Am. You can't define him or put him in a box or buy him at a store. He's the God of everything. And I want you to know this morning that no matter what you're facing in life, God is enough. He really is. And this is what gives me personally such great peace in my life. This is where my peace comes from, because God is my Savior and my deliverer and my forgiver and my baptizer and my healer and my wisdom. And he's my counselor and my strength. He's my best friend. He's my helper. He's my warrior. He's my life. He's my provider. And he's my peace. God covers all the bases, right? And this is what brings us peace. Peace comes from knowing God. And then a second thing we can unpack here from 1 Thessalonians 5 is that peace comes from holiness. Peace comes from holiness. So interesting connection here. May God himself, the God of peace, and then notice what it says, sanctify you through and through. Sanctify you. We'll get back to that word in a minute, but basically it has to do with living a holy life. Now this morning, listen, when I'm talking about holiness, I'm not talking about some kind of pious, I'm better than you, phony, religious, sanctimonious hypocrisy. I'm talking about real, godly holiness. And holiness in the Bible basically means two things for us as believers. First of all, we've been made holy already because Jesus died on the cross for us and rose from the dead. Amen? So you and I have already been made holy because of Jesus. This is why in the Bible, all Christians in the Bible are referred to as saints. They're not referred to as saints because they were perfect. They are referred to as saints because Jesus Christ, the perfect one, shed his blood for our sins. Amen? Yeah. So holiness is a gift from God. The second thing when we talk about holiness has to do with this word, sanctify. It's this process that God is working in our lives whereby we are becoming more and more like Jesus. Right? So we've been made perfect, right? Spiritually, we're forgiven. We're washed in the blood of Jesus, and our sins are taken care of. They're dealt with. But how many of you know when you look yourself in the mirror, you know you're not perfect? Amen? And we're in a process. We're becoming more and more like Jesus. So holiness is a gift from God, but it's also a transformative process that we're all in as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, what is this holiness have to do with having peace in our lives? Well, we have to remember that the devil is very real, and he wants to rob us of the peace that God has for us, right? Sometimes through our own choices, actions, or attitudes, we give Satan access to our lives to rob us of the peace that God has for us. So when we worship the idols of this world, at the altars of this world, we take on the baggage of this world, all right? When we worship the idols of this world, at the altars of this world, we will take on the baggage of this world. So for example, one of the things that Jesus said is Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and mammon. Mammon was the word that described the God of wealth or materialism or money. And Jesus is saying it's impossible to really be a follower of God and be a follower of money. He wasn't saying that money is bad. He's just saying if it's the number one thing in your life, it's become an idol and it's become your God. All right? And when you make money your idol, you're going to carry a lot of baggage in your life. It's going to weigh you down. So what do I mean by this? All right, so you really, really, really want that brand new truck. I mean, you really want it. But you know you can't really afford that truck. But you really want that truck. And your buddy just got a brand new truck. And you'd think you'd be so much more impressive if you were driving a brand new truck. And you want to have that my truck is better than your truck image and swagger. And so, even though you know you can't afford it, you go ahead and you buy that new truck. And now you're going to be strapped with payments that are beyond your ability to pay, right? And along with that comes a lot of stress and baggage, okay? So you've sacrificed your peace that you could have had because you had to have that truck. Now, guys, forgive me, or ladies, forgive me if I stepped on your toes today. I have nothing against owning a brand new truck. I'm just telling you, if you buy that truck and you can't afford that truck, it's going to weigh you down, right? It's going to add stress to your life, stress that God didn't want you to have. So there's nothing wrong with having a new truck. Just wait till you're in a place in your life where you can afford that new truck, right? Instead of getting yourself weighted down. Now you might think to yourself, now Pastor Tim, now you're picking on us. You said you weren't going to judge us. And now are you telling us, Pastor Tim, I don't have peace in my life because there's sin in my life? Now, that's not what I'm saying. But I do know this about myself. I know there have been times, more times than I would really like to admit, there have been times in my life that I've been struggling with restlessness in my spirit, anxiousness, and I've gone to the Lord in prayer and said, Lord, what is this going on in my life? Why am I stressed out? What's this anxiety that I'm experiencing? And what I'd love for God to do is just take it away from me supernaturally. But a lot of times what God does is he points at something in my life and says, Tim, if you want to have peace, you got to deal with this first. Right? And sometimes that means someone I need to have a conversation with, someone I need to forgive. Sometimes there's something I'm worrying about that I haven't really taken to the Lord in prayer and trusted him with, right? And so a step toward peace is to go to the Lord and say, God, what's going on? What's going on? Is there something I need to do? Is there something I need to change so I can experience the fullness of your peace, all right? And this brings us to the third thing, super important. Peace comes from transformed thinking. From transformed thinking. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. And then this next part talks about how God wants to cover all the bases in our life. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. Your whole spirit, soul, and body, all right? So your spirit, the spirit within you is that part of you that connects you to God, okay? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It has to do with how you're thinking, how you're processing life. And then your body, of course, is your physical being. These three things are all interconnected with one another. So we have a body, but did you know that the most important part of you is your spirit? Amen? You're more spirit than you are body. When your body dies, your spirit's going to stay alive. Okay? Your spirit, soul, and body. God cares about all of it. So I want to just think about this area of the soul, your mind, will, and emotions, because your spirit affects your soul affects your body affects your emotions, and God cares about all of it, right? They're all interconnected. So how we think, because we can't always control our circumstances, but we can always choose how we're going to respond to our circumstances, right? We can choose our attitude. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says this, let the peace of Christ, there's that word peace again, Rule, everybody say rule. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Rule, that means to give direction, to regulate, to control. And so the question is this, is the peace of Christ really ruling my heart? Is the peace of Christ what is giving me direction and guidance in my life? Because you're either going to be led by the peace of Christ, or you're going to be led and directed in your thinking by your emotions or the opinions of other people, or worse yet, the suggestions of the prince of darkness. Who am I allowing to rule, to regulate my thinking, my heart? Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that verse is coming right up right now. There we go. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Of your mind, of your thinking. So many scriptures that have to do with us choosing to think the right thoughts. Okay? Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, I got to say, all scripture is scripture. It's all inspired, but there are certain passages of scripture that I believe are especially important for a believer, and I believe that this is one of the most important passages of scripture for the health of a follower of Jesus Christ. Choosing to think the things that God wants us to be thinking about, right? We can't always control our circumstances, but we can always control how we respond to our circumstances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Choose those thoughts that are going to bring peace to your life. Amen? Does anybody here, like me, struggle with sometimes just getting fixated on certain things that drag you down? Anybody here? Come on, we've all been there, right? And that is just, man, that is the work of the enemy. That is the work of the enemy. Come on, let's let God help us with our thought life. Amen? It will bring so much peace to your life. And then fourthly, peace comes from knowing that God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Okay? The last part of that verse, the one who calls you is faithful, and he might do it. All right. Yeah, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen? God is faithful. Everybody say faithful. God is faithful, right? So this verse is reminding us that the circumstances of life, they change, but God never changes. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. God is faithful, and this brings so much peace to our lives, the faithfulness of God. Listen, you don't know what's going to happen in your life a year from now, but God does. Or 6 months from now, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You think you do, but you don't. Neither do I. And man, we can allow that to make us so anxious, like what is going to happen tomorrow? Listen, I don't have to know what's going to happen tomorrow. All I have to do is know Jesus and know that Jesus knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Amen? That he is the one leading and guiding my life. He's faithful. He's faithful. And so we're going to make that our rallying cry and our prayer this morning, remembering that peace comes from God and that our God is a faithful God, that he knows the end from the beginning. God knows it all. He knows everything that's going to happen in our lives, and he is going to be there in the midst of all of it, good and bad, God is going to be there for us. He is a faithful God, and he's big enough to handle it all. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you all bow your heads with me and close your eyes for just a moment? Hallelujah, God. I want to ask this morning if there's those of you here who would just say, man, I needed this message today. I've been struggling with some anxiety, some depression, some fear, and I need to experience God's peace at a way greater measure than what I'm experiencing right now. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand up and just saying, that's me, Tim. I need more of God's peace in my life. All right, thank you, thank you. You can put your hands down. Now let me ask another question. I mentioned at the very beginning of my message that peace begins with knowing God. And so I'm wondering if you're here this morning and you know that you know about God, but you're not really living for God. You're not really in a friendship with him, in a relationship with him. And I want you to know it's very simple to start a relationship with God. In fact, God wants to have a relationship with you. If you're here today and you want to start a relationship with God, if that's you, would you raise your hand up this morning? Say, Tim, I need to start a relationship with God, or restart a relationship with God. Yeah, God bless you. Anybody else? Just hold your hand right up because I'm going to lead you in a prayer. All right, you guys can put your hands down. Those of you who raise your hand, I want to just lead you in a very simple prayer right now. And church, would you pray along with those who raise their hand this morning? Father, I bring my life to you today. I believe you are the God of peace. I believe that you love me. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins and that you've risen from the dead. Lord, this morning, I invite you into my heart and life. I need you, God. Come into my life today in Jesus' name. Father, right now, I just want to lift up those who raised their hand saying, I need more of your peace in my life. God, I pray that even now you would meet them right where they're at. God, as they bring those things, those anxious thoughts to you, those things that have been weighing them down, God, those things that have been heavy in their heart, God, I pray, Lord, even now as they bring those things to you and lay those things at your altar, God, they would experience a newfound peace in that area. Lord, if there's something that they need to do, something they need to change, I pray that you'd give them a willing heart, Lord, to make that thing right, to settle that issue, Lord. God, perhaps there's something going on. They just haven't taken time to really come to you and talk to you about it. Lord, I pray that they would make that time, Lord. They'd spend that time with you to experience you because, God, you are faithful. You are faithful. And we thank you and give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord today for his word. Thank you for your word, God. Hallelujah, that transforms and changes us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.